Good evening to everyone. I'm glad I'm here. How about you? Appreciate the goodness of the Lord to me, my wife, and my stepdaughter. If it hadn't been for God, there would have been three funerals here a while back. But the Lord had mercy one more time. I have a burden tonight, and I've had it on my heart for about a month. And I thought maybe I would I didn't know when I was going to preach it, let me put it that way. I had some ideas, but that didn't work. So I feel like the Lord has been bearing it on. I need your prayers. Now then, I opened my message at Monarch a little bit different. I'm going to do the same thing tonight in another area. And that is, there was a certain minister among us for many, many years. And he preached on a certain line more than any other minister of that topic that I ever heard. He and I worked together quite a bit. We even was in a tent meeting down in Gules, down in Florida, let me put it that way, not too long before I married the first time. And he preached on a subject. His name was Brother Martin Sammons. Who can tell me what he preached on? Now, some of you in here don't even know who Mark Sammons is. You've never maybe even heard of him. But I was pretty close to him and worked with him quite a bit. What subject did he preach on? Who can tell me? What? You're doing good. Now, surely there's more in here that remember that than Sister Jody. But he preached on that subject over and over and over. I've heard him talk about it, I don't know how many times down through the years. But since he died, what has happened? How many times in meetings have you heard the subject of sanctification preached on? Now, the pastors may be doing it, and I don't know that. But I'm in a lot of meetings across this country since I've been back in the evangelistic field. And the subject of sanctification is very seldom ever preached on. It was last summer, Brother Marty at Myrtle, Brother Michael Smith preached on it. Had a real good message that night. But since then, I haven't heard anything. For years before, I hadn't heard anything. So guess what I have tonight? I have a message on sanctification. It is something that's an absolute need, must. It's not something that we can pick or choose. If we want to have a victorious life, if we want to have power, if we want to be able to do what God wants us to do, we're going to have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's not something that it just, well, I'll think about it, Brother Carl. No, I'm going to deal with it tonight and let you know God's been thinking about this for a long time. He set it up with Christ. They put a plan together that's the most glorious plan that's ever been put together at any time. And it's still the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. It's not going to change. The Lord wants the very same working of the Spirit of God now as he did 20 years ago, 40 years ago, or 100 years ago. It's all the same, and it's never changed, and it never will change, because God saw that there had to be something that was going to work and work well, and the only way to do that was his son become the sacrifice and give his life, and then for them to send the Holy Ghost down and to fill us through that, and then we could have something that would help us to live for God. Desire your prayers. Ezekiel 36:24. Let's read there. 36 and 24 of Ezekiel. For I will take you from among the heathen. I'm going to gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. Now then, this is the Lord dealing back many years ago, and he said, I'm going to do some cleaning up. I'm going to do something that's never been. And when we get to that point, and Christ basically was prophesied from Genesis all the way through, they knew there was going to be somebody coming. They knew there was going to be a plan brought into place. And so consequently, they had heard this for many, many years. They maybe didn't realize the depths of it. And that's the reason Jesus, and that's what I want to deal with tonight, that's the reason Jesus brought a plan and set it in place, and then they begin to see that this has got something more than the animals that they give for sacrifices. So he said, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you. Cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now then, the bottom line is, today, God, when he had old Israel, they kept backsliding, they kept doing things that grieved him over and over and over. The idols, they kept getting involved with idol worship, and one king might do well, the next king might do bad. The whole country was in a mess, and God kept trying. He tried this and that didn't work best. He tried this and that didn't work best. Now then he said, we're going to do something. We're going to go to the internal side, inside. We're going to work a work by the power of me and my son, and we're going to send the Holy Spirit down. He's going to fill the people, and they're going to be able to walk in the statutes, in the laws, in the way. They're going to be able to do what I want them to do, and they won't be following idols all the time. You should dwell in the land. All right, let's go to Joel 2 and 28. Joel 2 and 28. He said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, young men shall see visions. And also upon my servants, upon my handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will shew wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Oh, today he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. This is not a, how do I want to say it? This is not a negative. This is a full. It's an absolute. In other words, I'm going to pour out. I'm going to give you everything you need tonight. Listen, I want to ask you, and the text, my actual text is on in a message, but he said over there, Paul, I believe it was, he asked him, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? That's a cry today. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Some people say, well, I'm saved, Brother Carl. Good. But are you sanctified? Do you know you're sanctified? Do you know that you have the power within you and you're giving everything that you've got to God and allowing him to work in your life day after day? I'm going to pour out my spirit. This is daughters and sons. All right, let's go to Luke 24 and 49. Luke 24 and 49. Behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. Now this is Christ speaking here, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Endued with power from on high. All right, let's move on to Acts 1 and 8. Acts 1 and 8. And again, he's dealing with the same thing, a little repeating here. But he said here, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in all Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now then, folks, to be honest with you, we're not overrun with preachers. I hate to say it, but I'm on the upper side of this deal now. And the bottom line is, there's some young ones coming on, and I'm rejoicing. But could we use some more? Yes, I'd say we could. But the only way that's going to happen is that everybody is going to be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the power that they need to do what God would have them to do. You should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. Now listen, folks, being a preacher is not an easy job. I didn't want to be a preacher, and I stood against it per se in a light way for a good little while. But he kept chipping away, and chipping away. One day I asked him, I said, "Well, Lord, what am I going to do?" I can be a curious little rascal. And I asked him, I said, "What am I going to do? Am I going to be a pastor or am I going to be an evangelist?" You know what he told me? He said, "I want you to preach what I give you. I want you to preach what I give you." Well, folks, I've done 20 years of pastoring and about 28 years of evangelism. And if I would have known that, it might have scared me about half to death when he told me that. And he spoke so plain that I heard it in my ear. We was walking across a parking lot in Oklahoma City. He said that, "Be there, you shall receive power." Do you have power tonight? Listen, cars are not worth anything. Tractors and trucks, semis and all that, they're not worth anything unless they have something to give them power. They can be as pretty as they can be. My brother and I went to a car show one time several years ago, and Deb went along, and we was seeing these older cars and some new ones too, Corvettes and maybe Mustangs. I don't remember what all was there. But I got to thinking, I thought, now, these are pretty cars. They're worth a lot of money. But if you take what makes that thing move out of there, it's not worth very much. Tonight, you and I have got to have power to move as the Holy Ghost dictates or asks you, encourages you to do. He wants to give you power to be able to stand up and do what God would have you to do. Brother Murphy Allen was in a meeting one time many years ago, and the Lord spoke to him. And he said, "I want you to go down and I want you to preach on the street corner." Well, he goes, "Lord, I don't have no backup." And he, "I don't have no backup. I don't have no singers. I don't have nobody else helping me. And you're wanting me to go preach?" "Yes, I want you to go preach on the street corner." Well, he knelt at the altar. He was at the chapel where they had the meeting. And he knelt at the altar and he poured his heart out to the Lord. He got up and he went and done what the Lord wanted him to do. But he probably would not have been able to do that if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost. He probably would have had that hold back. But today the Lord wants to give us something that will help us to be able to move out and do. It may not be preaching at first. It may not be a missionary. It may not be anything major. But you could pass out tracts. You could make calls. You could encourage people. You could send texts to people. There's a lot of things, young people, you could do. This is not just for the old-timers, folks. It's for some young folks, too, to be able to do, by the power of the Holy Ghost, the things that God would have us to do. You receive power. And you should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now then, how much witnessing have we done? How many people have we invited to this meeting? How many prayers have we prayed for this meeting? How many things have we done that would be a blessing to this meeting? The Lord wants us to have something that will be able to help us to do. "Well, you don't understand, Brother Carl." "Well, I think I understand a little bit. I wasn't born yesterday. Been around a few years now. And the bottom line is the Lord wants us to have the power. He wants us to have the victory. He wants us to be able to do what the Lord would have us to do." All right, let's go to the second chapter of Acts here. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like end as a fire, and he sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or languages, and as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now he said there that they were with one accord. They were in total unity. What about 120 of them, I believe it is? And they were there in total unity. They were doing what the Lord told them to do. I want you to go there. I want you to stay there. And I'm going to visit you with a special visit. And here it is. There came as a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All 120, and they began to speak with other tongues. Listen, folks, when you get filled with the Spirit of God, it makes a change in your life. It makes a change, and other people will notice it too. It's not something you can put under a basket or a barrel or something and hide it. You're going to be letting it be known that the Lord has done something for me, and I want to do what He wants me to do. Go where He wants me to go. Say what He wants me to say. All right, let's go to Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts, the 10th chapter. And about the first verse here, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid. And he said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up before for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. All right, let's go down to the 29th verse now. And there came, therefore I came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. And I asked therefore with what intent you have sent for me. In other words, Peter here is asking Cornelius, why do you want me? What is the deal? Now see, here's the thing, folks. The Lord started bringing out prophecy about this. It was His sole desire to have this very thing. And so consequently, since it was just beginning, the Lord Himself done things to bring about the filling or the infilling of the Holy Spirit to people. Didn't maybe have all of it together, so to speak, but they were working on it. And And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh, he shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth. Now then, you've got to remember in a chapter before this, or a little bit before this, what did the Lord do with Peter? He enlightened him on something that Peter had never been enlightened on. He set him up for this right here. He set him in place whereby that he could go and feel free, because he thought it was just for the Jews. It wasn't considered here that they had brought the Gentiles in, because but they hadn't really got it down and going yet, I guess you could say. Paul was sent to the Gentiles later, but the bottom line, Peter was still kind of this is just for the Jews. This is not just for anybody and everybody. But when the Lord got through with him, he let him know that this is open to everybody. This is my will. I want you to go and preach to the people and let them know that this infilling and working of the Spirit of God is for anybody, no matter who it is, how old they are, how young they are, what nationality, what color, whatever. The bottom line is, I want them filled with the Holy Ghost. So here's Peter. And he opened his mouth and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Praise God. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That word, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews, in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and shewed him openly. Now then, the 44th verse here, it says here, it said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Their hearts were open. They were wanting something, Cornelius in particular, and I would say all those, because he said, we're all here to listen to you. Want you to tell us what you want us to do. Listen, folks, today the ministers are begging you to do what the Bible teaches. We're begging you to do what we know that you need to be able to do. I would not be here today if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost and his power. I wouldn't be able to preach at times if it wasn't for the Lord. In Shawnee, I had a breakdown, a type of breakdown. And there was times I didn't even want to go to church. I didn't want to be in the pulpit. I didn't feel like it. But I would go, and the Lord would give me a message, and I would go. And I would get up there, and I didn't have any energy. I didn't feel like opening my mouth. And I would feel the power of God touch me right here. It would go all the way through my body, and guess what? I took off of preaching. And that happened over and over and over. Not every Sunday, but quite a bit down through a year. The bottom line is, folks, that power of God is working today to help you to do what he wants you to do. What Brother Michael preached on last night is absolute. I love that subject. I preached on it before myself. And the bottom line is, God has all power. The Holy Ghost has power to help you to live. No matter if it's an unsaved companion, no matter if it's an unsaved child, no matter if it's a boss that's giving you lots of trouble, the bottom line is, the Lord has the power through the Holy Ghost to help you live the life, to be the witness, to be able to go and do and let them know, I can live for God no matter what you do to me. I can live for God. While Peter yet spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Oh, today, have you received? All right, let's go to that scripture, 19th of Acts. 19 of Acts. And the first verse, I think, here. He said, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether they be a Holy Ghost, any Holy Ghost. And he said to him, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Now then, he says here, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Listen, folks, this is not about joining a church. This is not about getting behind a certain preacher out there and backing him up and giving him money and baking him chocolate cakes and so forth. That's not about that. This whole thing is set in place that first off, you got to be saved. You've got to be washed from your sins and know that you've been raised from death into life, and your feet are set on a solid rock, and you're doing what God would have you to do. That puts you in a position then that next, the Holy Ghost will fill you when you bring yourself and present your body a living sacrifice before God. Put it all on the altar. Everything on the altar. Everything. Not a few things or some things. They some tried to do this and that. But the bottom line is he wants everything. That way he can do what he wants when he wants to do it. If he's got everything. Whether it be a $100 bill or a car or a home or whatever it might be. He wants to have the position whereby he can say, I want you to do this and you'll do it. Put it all on the altar. Oh, tonight. Oh, we don't know what this is, but we want it. We want to have that. And when Paul went to praying for them, the Holy Ghost came down upon them. Tonight, this is about a full plan of salvation. Nothing short. Salvation, baptism, sanctification, and the whole workings of the Spirit of God and the Church of God makes us what we are. It's not that we're a dead body. The bottom line is we've been filled and powered, and we live the life before the people 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Are you saved tonight? All right now. Are you saved? Are you saved from your sin? Delivered. I'm not, like I said, I'm not talking about backing this one up or that one up. I'm talking about getting involved with Jesus Christ and getting a good dose of salvation that'll bring you up and out and keep you and help you and strengthen you to be able to walk about and not go sinning every day. And then you want the Holy Ghost. We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. Well, I'm telling you tonight, there is one. And I've watched him work in the Church of God for many years now. I've watched him do the things that the Lord wanted him to do. I was on my honeymoon, first time I got married. I got sick on my honeymoon. And so I was sick for, I think, all that night. And the next morning, Rebecca, she said, I'm going to go call for prayer, which she did. The preacher that married us, when his wife told her, or told Tim, what had happened, he busted out laughing. And she goes, Joe, this ain't funny. Brother Carl is sick. Well, I can see why it might strike him funny, and I'm not condemning him at all. But the bottom line is the Lord come on the scene. And Rebecca prayed for me. And she prayed all around the world, so to speak, and prayed for me last. Now, you'd have thought she'd have prayed for me first, but she didn't. She prayed for me last. Well, she got through, and I said, all right, I want you to get the Bible, and I want to quote a scripture to, and I want to read a scripture to, and I want you to pray again. Okay. And she did. Well, before the first time she prayed, the Lord began to deal with me. He said, I want you to thank me for healing. And I thought, I'm not well. I want you to thank me for healing. I said, Lord, I'm not well. He said, I want you to thank me for healing. I said, I'm not well. Well, Rebecca got the Bible, and we done what I asked her to do, and then she started in praying a second time. And when she done it, the Lord come again. Now, this is the work of the Spirit, folks. This thing ain't because you're in a house with a lot of people or on Sunday worship all the time or out in a camp meeting. The bottom line, the Holy Ghost works with you privately and individually. No matter where you're at or when you're at, he does things for you that nobody else can do. And again, he said, I want you to thank God for healing. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now faith, right now, is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we're going to reach out and claim something that we don't see or feel. And that's what I started doing. It hit me then by the Spirit of what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to start thanking him for healing, for I felt anything, seen anything, or whatever. And guess what I did? I started doing that. Guess what happened? I come up out of the bed. And I got better and better and better. I got dressed and we got our car, stuffed back in the car and took off for another day of honeymoon. But it was the Lord, see? It was his dealing with me. I didn't have Brother Williams around or Brother Simons around or anybody around that was a minister. I didn't have any of that. But I had the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost to be able to help us when it's dark and black and ugly, so to speak. He can come out there and say, hey, this is what you need to do, child. And you can move to the dictates of the Spirit. And folks, when he gets through, it'll work right. It'll work right every time. I'm thankful tonight for what he's done down through the years. Oh, have you received the Holy Ghost? Well, preacher, you're repeating it. Yeah, I'm going to repeat it a few times. I want you to get this down. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you believed? Are you saved? Are you a candidate, so to speak, to be filled with the Spirit of God? That's your next move, and the quicker you do it, the better off you're going to be. You don't want to keep waiting. You don't want to keep putting... Well, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. I understand a little bit. And the bottom line, I understand this is in the prophecy. This is in the life of Christ. And this is exactly what he wanted done. And this is what he set in place. And it began to work. And it's worked till this day by the power of God and the Holy Ghost. It works, and it works well. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. And about the 19th verse, 5 and 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We have got a world today that's full of all this right here. Our world is in the biggest mess I've seen it in my lifetime. If the Lord don't have mercy, it's only going to get worse. But the bottom line is, many, many people that used to go to church have quit going. It's under 50% of what they're saying is attending church on a regular basis on a Sunday. Listen, folks, they took out years ago, they decided, well, we didn't need prayer in school, we're going to take that out. We're going to take the Bible out, and we're going to do this and that. And when they done that, the whole bottom line is everything started going downhill at a rapid rate. I've seen it in homeschooling. When I say seen it, I've been taught that in homeschooling. They said this is what started the downfall. Taking prayer out. Oh, we don't need prayer, and we don't need this, and we don't need that. Listen, folks, we need God in every place. Amen. We need him. We need him badly. And they've taken God out of here and there and yonder. California's a state. Here 2 or 3 years ago, they put a sign out, said, God, we don't need you anymore. Amen. And about 2 weeks later, they had massive fires in the northern. That was in the southern part of California. They had massive fires up somewhere in northern California. And then they're going, God, do you have any compassion anymore? One day, tell him to leave. The next day, want him back. Listen, folks, I want him all the time. I'm not interested in him going anywhere but right with me, helping me and holding me and blessing me. But the world is so full of the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Listen, folks, people that do that are going to end up in a devil's hell. Said they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Shall not. That's an absolute. That's not a they might be or they might be lost or whatever. They're going to be lost if they don't do the things that the God wants them to do. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meek, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Why do we need the Holy Ghost? Well, number one, we need His power to live for God. Then we need to be able to live the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Do you have love tonight for people? Do you have love for anybody that has done you wrong? That's hurt you? What about joy in the midst of a battle? Well, I got a pretty good battle, Brother Carl. Well, I've had some pretty good battles too. But you can have joy right in the midst of the battle. You can also have peace. This is brought about by the workings of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Long-suffering. How much long-suffering do we have? We need a lot of long-suffering with one another sometimes. Need long-suffering people we work with. Need long-suffering sometimes maybe for a wife or a husband or children. Need some long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness and faith. How much faith do we have? Just like I said there in that motel room, the Lord was inspiring my faith. I didn't realize at first what was happening maybe, but the bottom line is He was beginning to give me something, and there's a track out there that I love. If anybody wants one, I've got some. But the bottom line is there's a track out there that teaches exactly what the Lord was teaching me years later after that track was written. And the bottom line is, we can, and I've seen it happen. I've been in groups of prayer around a sick one, and we wasn't seemingly getting anywhere as a group. And finally, somebody, as I say, took the bull by the horns and started thanking God for healing. Those prayers had been prayed, and we was looking and we was writhing, fighting against the devil. And somebody started in thanking God, Lord, thank you for healing this person. Thank you for leaving this and doing that. And do you know what happened? I've seen it change immediately. It would turn around and they would have exactly what we were praying for as a group. Today, the Lord wants you and I to have faith. He wants us to have deep faith and powerful faith that we can be able to do what God would have us to do. Pray the prayer of faith. Say, Brother Carl, I'm not a preacher. Brother Audney Davis, I believe that's right, was sick one time, real sick. And this brother was before my time. Now, I pastored his wife later, but this is before I was ever saved. And the Lord dealt with a little lady now. It wasn't one of the elder ministers, or it wasn't a deacon, or it wasn't a trustee or somebody. It wasn't somebody that the pastor sent out. But it's a little lady that the Lord gave a burden to go and pray for Brother Audney. And I believe she sang to him maybe a little bit. And then she anointed him and prayed for him, and God healed him just like that. Listen, folks, it's not all preachers. Saints, you can do some things too. Matter of fact, we need your help. We need you. One time I had so much on me when I was here at Guthrie, Brother Bob Slee stood up. He said, listen, folks, we need to help Brother Carl. He's got more than he can about handle. And a pastor can only do so much. We're human too. And the Lord does help us. But the bottom line is, this is for everybody to be filled with the Spirit and to be able to do what the Lord would ask you to do. Another time, now this is going back, way before my time. There was a woman that had a burden, had some problems, needed some answers. She talked to Sister Warner. Sister Warner said, Brother Warner will be in a certain day, said, why don't you come over at a certain time? And she did. And she come in, she sat down, and they talked and visited a little bit. And she began to open up to Brother Warner. And he started doing this. Yes. He kept falling asleep on her. Finally, she saw that it wasn't working too well. So she just got up and eased out and said, well, I'll be back later. Let him get some good sleep and he'll feel better. So she goes out the deal. They had picket fences, if I remember the story right. She went through the gate and went down the street. And down the street lived another person that was a Church of God saint, a little lady. And she said, here, sister, I want you to come in. I want to talk to you. Okay. So she went in there. And that little lady wasn't the great D.S. Warner. That little lady had been in touch with God. God gave her every answer she needed for that sister, and that sister got victory right there. Listen, saints, it ain't about ministers. The bottom line is we need Jesus. We need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling the Lord, I don't care how many preachers are there, Lord, we got to have you. This whole thing is rocked or held up and supported and empowered and blessed by the Spirit of God. And we've got to have that if we're going to have any services at all here. Meekness and temperance. Oh, today, what do we lack in this? Now, this is what the Lord wants us to get a hold of. He wants us to have the Holy Spirit that brings about the fruit of the Spirit, whereby people can see that. What else do we need the Holy Spirit for? Being led? Now, that may take you a little time to learn by the help of the Lord, but the Lord wants us to be led by the Spirit of God. There was a sister, pastor's wife. They lived, I don't know, it was in Oklahoma here, Oklahoma City, I think. And anyway, the pastor and his wife lived up here on the street, and back here was another brother and his wife, and they lived back there. Well, the pastor's wife felt definitely led to go see this sister. Both husbands was off working and doing things. And so I believe she called. She said, yes, come, sister, come. So she went. And they talked and they visited and everything. And then she gave her some counsel, I guess, and different things. And then when she went back home, the sister called the pastor's wife and said, I want you to know you've been a great blessing to me today. A great blessing. You have helped me. Listen, folks, this ain't all about the preachers. This is about the Holy Ghost leading and working and the church of God helping us to be where we need to be and do what we need to do. Comfort. Watch out now. I'm on my subject now. What does the Lord say over here? No, I get in the right book. It always reads right. It's never failed me in all these years. It said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now then, he said he's the God of all comfort. Brother Michael brought out last night, and I see it too, and you do too, that he's the God of all power. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. All. Total. Complete. There's not a lack in any way. I've flown in jets. I've rode in tractors. I've never raced a race car, but I've been in some pretty fast cars. And they've got power and they can do things. But listen, folks, Jesus said, all power is given to me. And he said here, the God of all comfort. It hit me one time. As I was writing a card, sending a card, somebody lost to somebody, and it hit me all, A-L-L. That's total, complete, that's everything. I thought, Lord, I said, you can comfort anybody in any situation at any time and do it better than anybody else. I was amazed at what he done. I was amazed when he talked to me. There have been times that, well, one time I was in distress and I literally looked up and raised both arms and said, God, have mercy on me. I need you. About 2 minutes later, a phone call come through and the brother that was calling me, he had exactly what I needed. One time I was in distress, driving, crying. And I said, Lord, I said, she was so young, so to speak. She wasn't even 60 years old. I said, you took her. You took her, Lord, and she wasn't that old, so to speak. And the Lord spoke to me, said, age doesn't matter to me, child. It's eternity that counts. In other words, what the whole bottom line is, you need to be ready to die. All comfort. Guess what happened? The tears dried up. I've used that message in funerals numbers of times. But the bottom line is the Lord moves, and he moves quickly sometimes to give us exactly what we need. All comfort. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. Now, you don't understand, Brother Carl, I don't want to go through trials and tribulations. Well, I've been through enough of them in the last year and a half. I've kind of wondered the same thing. But the bottom line is, he's given me things that maybe I can use to help others down the road. I've nearly been killed or died. Well, killed basically two different times. By accident, both times. I caused the last one because I went totally out. I don't know what happened, but I went out. And the Lord took the wheel of that car, or steering wheel of that car, and he guided that car around everything that we didn't crash into anything till we come out from under the overpass, and then we started flipping end over end. Tore Molly's car totally up. The funny thing about it, she'd been wanting a new car for quite a while. And Carl had been kind of slowing her down. Molly, it's a good car yet. You got less mileage on it than I do my van. So she would kind of back down. But I got news for you. When this happened, she got her a new car. And you know what she's doing? She won't let me drive it 1 mile. Won't let me do it. She's scared of my driving. Because she doesn't know what might happen, and I'll have to agree with her. But the bottom line is, the Lord wants to work with us and use us. Trials and tribulations are not only good for us, but they're good for others also. Because you understand what they're going through, and you know what the Lord has done for you and how he can help them. Oh, Lord, help us. Teach you in all things. Now, all of us have had some teachers, but I highly recommend this one right here. I went through 12 years of school. I went through some through college, but this one right here beats them all. His teaching, his encouraging, I don't know, somebody mentioned, and it's very true, said, we can read scriptures all down through the years and said, you can get different things out of it here, there, and yonder, so to speak. A while back, I was fixing to sit down in my recliner, and the Lord gave me that scripture over there where it said, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The word, my help. And it just stood out to me and fired me up. Oh, today, he can teach us. He can open this Bible up. This Bible was written by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They know what's in it, and they know how to open it up and reveal it to you, whether you're old, young, or in between. Go about doing good. He wants us. What did it say over there about Jesus? He went about doing good. He helped people, didn't he? We need to go about doing good. Are you doing that? Are you trying to comfort people? Somebody said, well, watch out now. Well, I hope I'm not the only one trying to do it, and I don't think I am. But the bottom line is I have a burden for it, and I'm doing what I can do between texting and calling and cards or maybe visits. Given counsel, the bottom line is the pain is there. And I can pray for people that has lost a loved one that I don't even know and cry over them. Don't even know. It's God has given these things, and he wants you to take being filled with the Spirit of God, and he wants you to let that Spirit work in you to give you the love, the joy, the peace, to give you everything that you need whereby we can go about doing good. We can help people. Who have you helped this week? Who have you helped in this meeting? Who have you helped in the congregation where you're at? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Where are we at tonight? Do we have the Spirit? It's an absolute. I know I've repeated myself some, but I want to drive this point home. The bottom line is, if we don't have it, we're going to end up in trouble somewhere down the line. Let's stand and have a number. Appreciate your attention and time and your prayers tonight. Pray for me.